Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey guys, welcome to a new winter. And today I'm joined with Dan, Dreadful Dan.
Hey, how you doing? Dreadful Dan G of Dreadful Discs fame.
That's the one. And today we're going to have a bit of a special episode. We've not actually done this before. It's three hits and one shit. And it's not a game where I take a baseball bat and hit Dan around the head three times and then shit on his face,
That would be fun.
As fun as that might be. But instead, what we're going to do is we're going to play three hits, or what we consider hits, I should say. And music that we like, and one song that we absolutely hate that we think is awful. And so hence three hits and one shit.
The fun thing is that the way we're doing this is we've generated completely blank MP3s to share with each other, so it will be a complete surprise with no sort of prejudices. Although, Sam, you've actually labelled one of yours shit. I haven't had the good grace to do the same with you. So you might be hoodwinked.
So have you mixed in the shit track with the hits?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So you might be like, oh my God, this is so shit, but I don't want to tell Dan it's shit. In case it's like his favourite song.
That might be the better way. I don't know if you'll be able to tell. Well, you will be able to tell now because I've labelled it. But if you're listening to it completely blind, I don't know if you'd be able to tell. We've not done this before. As Dan said, we're not going to know what the songs are or anything like that. So you'll get our first-hand reaction on what we think of the song, and then we'll discuss it a little bit afterwards and why we think it's good or bad. So, Dan, you're up first.
Okay.
Anything you want to say before I play this track?
Which track are you playing, number one?
Well, I'll play number one.
No, I think... No introduction required, and let's just see what you make of it.
Okay, let's play it. Right, so who was that?
Who do you think it was? Do you think it's anyone you know?
To be honest, no. But it was after our conversation that we had about like horrors, primary colours, and how they started. It felt very much like, you know, that Sonics and early 60s kind of ilk.
That's right. Yeah, a 60s garage band.
Yeah, but no, I didn't actually recognise it. I don't think
they're called the Monks.
Okay,
And the song was called "I Hate You."
Oh, really?
Did you like it?
what way? Sending a message there. for the first track. tell it how it is. I'll tell you what, I actually really liked it.
Yeah.
It was weird because it was like the beginning I was like, okay, I'm enjoying this. It's like I'm kind of getting into it. Even though, you know, it's like repeating a lot, but I'm like, I'm enjoying this groove. And then when his vocals came in, I was like, fucking hell, like what? wasn't really expecting that. And at first I was like, oh well. And then I was mesmerized, right into the end.
Cool.
And yeah, it's got a really cool vibe about it. I really like that one.
I
deem it a hit.
Yeah, it was one of my hits. It wasn't the shit, that's for sure. What you've just said, like, kind of like encapsulates their whole sounds, and that's what I like about them and that song particularly. They set up that long, repetitive kind of like groove. It's quite like dark and dirgy. Mm. And then he just comes in with that really unhinged vocal.
Yeah.
I think they're really, what's like interesting, I think they're really exciting for the time. So that album was released in 1966.
Wow.
And their whole story is really interesting, actually. They were a band of American GIs that mm-hmm. were stationed in Germany.
Okay.
And they were kind of playing like some of the venues in Hamburg that the Beatles had been playing a few years before them.
Right.
And playing, you know, that kind of like rock and roll kind of thing. And these two German art students got hold of them and basically said, everything you're doing, do the opposite of that. So right. Don't use any of your instruments to make too much melody. It should be more about like repetitive rhythm. And then they gave them this like really nihilistic kind of sound and image as well. They've all got their heads shaved at the top like monks. And they all wore black,
really?
And they all wore like a rope noose around their necks.
Jesus. Yeah, I think I might have seen a picture of them before. I mean, that's real dedication to the, to the band.
Yeah, and it's a really iconic look. Once you see them, you know, you don't forget it. I suppose looking back now, you look at them, it looks a little bit hokey, but you've got to think like 1966, seeing them, and there's footage of them on German TV, doing, I don't know if they do that song, but they do some of their others, and it's just so abrasive, really hostile. Like the sound is hostile, the whole attitude is hostile, and a lot of people kind of say, oh, they're kind of like 10 years early. It's really like proto punk.
Yeah,
and actually it's like proto post punk, because all that kind of like repetitive rhythm, that's kind of like what happened with, you know, it sounds a bit like Pill or And The Fall were a big fan. Marky Smith's a big fan of the Monks. You hear all that, especially in their earlier material.
I don't think I've ever actually heard them before. That's great. What a lovely little gem you've dug out there. I really enjoyed that. Yeah, I'm going to check out more of that stuff.
Cool.
I should say that my selection for today, because I was thinking, what should I choose? And am I choosing something that you like or don't like? And I was like, I went at that moment in time, I was listening to my 2015 or whatever Spotify playlist that I'd made.
Yeah.
And you know how sometimes you go on like a nostalgia thing. And this was kind of music that was coming out around that time.
Okay.
And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to pick some songs from this playlist that I think I still like listening to today. And I don't think then this isn't me picking like, these are my favorite songs of all time or anything like that. It's more like, this is a song I like. How about it? And that's the kind of, you know, sometimes it's almost that, I don't know, how do I describe it? Like not mediocrity, but like songs that might not be, you know, legendary or anything like that. But when I listen to it, I think I really liked that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's around the 2014, 2015 mark. So yeah, go ahead and enjoy.
Okay. Blimey H. Riley. That was a noisy one, wasn't it? I wasn't expecting that. Are you sure that's from 2015? It sounds like something we would listen to from the mid-90s on like a Punkorama compilation CD.
Wow. Doesn't it just?
It sounds like, yeah, it just sounds like early 90s kind of American post-hardcore.
What did you think? Did you like it?
I liked it. I think my favourite bit was probably the screeching feedback intro of the first few seconds.
Yeah.
That was a highlight. And then it just sort of came and went in a 90 seconds whirlwind of anger and malediction.
Well, they're called Gloss, but it's like G.L.O.S.S. because they're actually called Girls Living Outside Society Shit. And the track is called Girls Living Outside Society Shit. In brackets, we're from the future. And it's Gloss, as they're called, is led by a trans woman. And it's an interesting band for the LGBT scene.
She the singer?
Yeah, so she's the singer. And yeah, that really, when you see them perform, there's no holding back or anything like that. It's really like visceral.
And it's Have you seen them?
Not in person. No, just online. I don't even know if they toured here. Like this is the thing. So they basically came and went in a year and a half. Like that. From when they formed to when they split was that quick. But they made a real impression with that first that debut EP. So five songs or something. It's 20 minutes or whatever, if that. It was just really good. And, I just thought it was really cool. And I liked the idea that it's all about being, trans and what is a woman, that kind of sexual identity. But it deals with it in a very fuck you, violent manner. When she talks about, being an outcast and all this stuff. And it's not it's not like she's trying to fit into society. It's I'm who I am. Fuck you, basically. Yes. I'm not going to apologize for it. And I really like that because, back in, the punk days or whatever, maybe it was a class thing or, something like that. But these days, kind of rebelling against that very Republican white right wing, stance, especially these days in Trump era. It's quite interesting. And yeah. I really liked it.
So it's the people singing in the 80s, bands the Dicks with Gary Floyd, who were kind of being angry about their homosexuality. It's taking that to the next logical step.
Were they angry about their homosexuality? Do you mean that? What are you talking about?
I'm so angry about being gay.
Or do you mean in society?
Yeah, angry, and the police, of course, and their right. treatment at the hands of their fellow Texans.
Right. Yeah. That was Gloss. Check it out. So Dan, I'm now going to listen to the second track that you've chosen today.
Oh, cool. So, Sam, do you have a good name?
No money can buy my name, apart from if you get a deed poll. I weirdly, when I first started listening to it, I was okay, where's this going? And then when he started singing, I was this is amazing. And even though, you know, looked at it, I was like, 10 minutes, over 10 minutes long, that song. I was into it.
Wow, I wasn't sure you'd like it, to be honest, so that's cool.
Yeah, there was at a point near the beginning, I was like, oh, is this like the shit one? I was listening to it going, no, man, this is really like, I really enjoy this. This can't be a shit one. I'll tell you what, it's reminded me a little bit of, did you ever listen to the band Yeasayer? In like the early noughties, I think it was.
No, I've heard of them. I've never listened to them at all.
Yeah, I think they're still going. I think they still release albums, but God, I haven't listened to it in ages. But yeah, they've got a few tracks that I quite like, and it does sound a little bit similar to this. Okay. Like, I can't really put my finger on it either. Just that it's kind of, well, it's not even psychedelic. It's I don't know, just something different, like something a bit different. And yeah, I don't know. I'm guessing it's actually an old song.
Yeah.
Yeah. But from 80s, I'm guessing, like listening to that synth.
You are right. Yeah. 1983, in fact.
Oh, the year of both our births.
I'm afraid you're 82, not. I've got you pipped. You're older.
Oh, yes, I forgot what a young lad.
I remember when this record was released. I remember it well. Bopping around the Christmas tree. Christmas 82.
No money. Yeah. I really liked it. Tell me more. Like, who is it? Tell me more about it.
So that was a nice big fat slice of the Afrobeat that you've been ragging me about.
ragging you? Not ragging. I just don't know anything about it.
That's William Onyebor. He's a Nigerian musician.
Okay.
I think his first album came out 1977, thereabouts.
Wow.
So this is quite late in his career. And, of course, it would be really obscure, because his records were only originally released in Nigeria. But
wow.
I think about 6 years ago... what's his name? David Byrne. David Byrne's record label. Mm-hmm. He seemed to go on like a personal crusade, and he had all this stuff reissued, and they did an anthology on him. And because he, at that point, William Onyebor was alive, but a total recluse. So David Byrne and a few others, I think including Damon Albarn, like actually formed a band to promote these reissues.
Wow.
And they did like American talk shows and things, played some of his songs. So it's not that obscure now. And actually, I was out last night in London having a few drinks, and I actually heard one of his songs.
Oh, really?
And played by the DJ. I was like, wow. William Onyebor is, yeah, mainstream. He's dead now, though, so that's a shame.
Yeah.
But his background story is really fascinating. I won't go into too much detail, but he seems to be completely shrouded in mystery.
Right.
Because they're kind of like, how did he bring all these like synthesizers to Nigeria in the late 70s and have enough money to like have a studio and his own record label? And no one quite knows.
Oh, really?
And no one quite knows as well. He just stopped and then vanished. There's like a half hour documentary that you can watch produced by Noisy.
Okay.
You can find it on YouTube. I'd recommend it to anyone. Nice short. It's just really fascinating.
A show notes so that people can actually, just click on it and watch it at their own leisure.
Cool. And if they like the song, good starting point is the anthology, which is called Who Is William Onyebor?
Oh, what a lovely title. so many questions in just one question. what we'll do as well is we'll put together a Spotify playlist, and I'll link it somewhere. I'll link it on our social channels and whatever. And if you click on it, what we'll do is we'll take you to the songs that we're talking about today, so you can actually listen to them and see what you think. So yeah, we'll make it a bit easier on you guys. Right, what is up next? It's my number two song, I think.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
We'll be right back.
ending was quite the cacophony. Do you think a lot of that was achieved in the mixing stage?
I don't know.
Because it was pretty crazy with those drums.
Yeah. It's pretty, yeah, intense when it ends. When you first listen to it, you're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I felt like, anyway.
No, that ending was very cool.
Speeds up.
Mm.
Yeah, you think about where it begins and where it ends up, you're like kind of in a car crash.
Yeah.
Almost.
That was really good. I really liked it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I like quite a primitive, plodding, basic drum beat. That's sort of my forte. And a bit like the first song, Monks, it kind of, initially it got into that kind of bit of a groove. And then when there was that big step change, I mean, that could be handled quite badly. It could be a bit silly, but it wasn't really jarring. I liked some of that guitar stuff. It sounded quite sort of like Pixies-ish guitar tones and just like a really nice kind of, like, for me, it felt like a late 90s kind of alternative indie rock kind of sound, which is my kind of thing, obviously. And it stayed interesting. I liked it kept speeding up and then all that stuff going on at the end. Yeah, very cool. Who was it?
They're a band called Cloud Nothings.
Oh!
Yeah, I've probably spoken about it before anyway, but they've had a few albums out. Have you heard? You've heard of them before then?
Yeah, I've got one of their albums, but maybe I didn't listen to it properly.
It's possible. They, for me, are like one of the few bands that I'm still quite interested in hearing what they do. And sometimes I think I've got them nailed, and then they'll do something else. So sometimes they sound quite mainstream, and verging on the emo kind of side of things. Mm. And then other times, it just sounds like straight up, like a bit more like, not punky, but like going down more that route. And then you have stuff like this where I'm like, that's really cool. But I think they're just, generally speaking, they're really good at writing a melody and also making it sound quite raw.
Yeah.
And it reminds me like of how, well, basically how Nirvana used to do. I'm not saying that they're like the same, but there's a clear kind of influence. But yeah, the fact that they're still able to mix up, they're not simple songs, but they're songs that actually sound good. And yet they've kind of added that rawness to it over the top, which makes it just that little bit different. So I quite like it. And I quite like their stuff, and they're still going. You can still catch them playing relatively young still. Cloud Nothings. That was called Psychic Trauma.
Cool. I'm going to check that out. Definitely. I'm going to probably download that album.
Okay. So next up is your number three.
Number three.
Which I'm guessing, before I even listen to it, is going to be the shit one, because everyone puts it at third or fourth.
What? What are you talking about?
So boring. Why don't you start with the shit one? No one ever starts with the odd one out.
I did want to start with it, but I thought with this being a new format for the show, we should not get things off on the wrong foot.
Yeah, well, fair enough. I guess like much like how I do in my life, I've saved my shit until the end.
I mean, the surprise has been ruined. So, look, everyone, the song you're about to listen to is Steaming Garbage.
Right, so, for a start, I know that's Coal Chamber with Loco.
It's a bit unfair what I've done there, isn't it? Because what I've done is I've actually picked your favourite band of all time. And I could hear, while it was playing, I could hear you tapping away, drumming your little thighs, like you were 14 again. Lovely.
It's true, I was. I totally was. it's a bit unfair. It's not that I actually, this is my favourite band or anything like that. They were around in, God, what, 2000, I suppose, around that, literally around that year.
Well, they were, but that song was from 1997.
Was it?
Yes.
Jesus. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I suppose it would be, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Oh, heyday.
Yeah, exactly. We were at our best. And it's not that I I loved the song. They only really had like two songs, I think, and even the second song was not amazing. This was like their first song that they released before the album. It was the first song, I believe, on the album. And yeah, it's just a nostalgia thing. But it is quite funny listening back to it. It's weird because only like a year ago, maybe, I was starting to think about what was I listening to back then and trying to like dig out some, you know, songs or whatever from back in the day and like Googling a little bit, like what was out. And, yeah, that was one of them. And I think it was like one of my friends, a guy called, Robert Brewer, who a name I haven't said in 25 years, probably. Really liked them, and yeah, we'd always play that. So it kind of reminds me about this one specific guy more than anything. But yeah, it's listening back to it. I know it's a pretty awful song, but I just still tap away to it.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Like you said, there are worse songs.
There are worse songs.
There's a lot better songs as well.
What surprised me was that, because I never at the time thought they were terrible. I wasn't a fan, but listening back to it, I was really shocked at how one note it is.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's just nothing happening there. Yeah. And it's the musical equivalent of a guy standing at a party going, "Oh, I'm mad me, look at me."
Yeah, don't think about it like that.
Guy screaming, "Oh, I'm mad."
Gone loco. It's like a bee thorn covered. Which only people of a certain age will remember. It's basically porn for when you're a kid and you couldn't get a hold of it as easily as today. It'd be thrown covered late on Sky One. But yeah, everyone in that is just like, "I'm mad me. You should film me. I'm mad. I'll do anything."
That was their whole act, really, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, it is weird because, yeah, listening back to it, it's like he does the fast, whatever he's doing. And it's like, okay, that's very much of that time. And then the chorus, it just is him like screaming louder. And I think that's the hook.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's like, oh, look, he can scream, but now he can really scream. Yeah. Wow. And then it's just the whole thing again. I think the one thing that's quite interesting about it is the way it just stops.
That's the best moment for sure.
That's what I mean. It just stops. Then he just goes, hop. Maybe we'll get back to it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting pick. I like what you've done there.
Thanks. I really had to search my soul for the right shit song, so I'm glad that you appreciated it.
Good. Right, you are going to be now listening to my third track, which, as I've said, I deem a hit.
To take away this love we'd only started, I wanted you to leave, to take all the time you need. I'll be ready when you come back to me.
So, a very sexy song and a nice change of pace as we move into the final portion of the show.
Yeah.
Perfectly curated by yourself, of course.
Yes. What did you think?
I thought it was very nice. It's that kind of like neo-soul thing. I liked mm-hmm. it when it started. I was like, very funky bass. It's very, it's quite a sophisticated arrangement. Yeah, I liked it. It reminded me a bit of like what Metronomy were doing.
Yeah.
Because they sort of played around with some of that like late 70s kind of soul sound, almost, you know, starting to verge on like funk and disco. I felt at some points the female vocal for me skirted a little bit too close to brand new heavies territory. Which was slightly alarming. But other than that...
Yeah, you've kind of ruined it a little bit for me. But no, I know what you mean.
But all in all, a smashing little tune.
Yeah, it's by the Harpoons, an Australian band, I believe. And yeah, they're not famous or anything at all. This is kind of like just something that I came across whilst just trying to look for new music that's, you know, a bit more obscure. I don't even know if it's their biggest like track or anything like that, but yeah, it's called Never Stop Loving You.
What appealed to you about it?
I liked the fact that it was a bit it was just a happy, nice song. I really liked the chorus as well, and it reminded me a bit of Kings of Convenience and that kind of folky sensibility. But yeah, as you said, it's a bit more soul and funky, and especially like during that time where I was listening to more soul stuff than I'd ever done before, and you know, like Charles Bradley and all this, who was still going, obviously, you know, he died like last year or something, but you know, was still bringing out stuff. And it was only because, I'm going into a story now, but I pitched to do a Charles Bradley music video.
Oh, right, really?
Yeah, for, oh God, what song?
I you can't put remember. The flame on it.
Yeah, I can't remember what song it was, but I pitched to do it and I listened to it and I was like, man, is this new? Like, what are you talking about? And then I listened to the album and then I listened to more albums and I was like, man, this is great. And then I was like, yeah, you know what? I really want to go back and listen to some of that stuff and you know, got into just soul a little bit more. But I'm talking like, you know, nothing like new and crazy, like James Brown, basically, and all this stuff. Mm. And yeah, and at that time, this song came across my path. And even though it's obviously nothing quite like that, as you said, it does have like a bit of a soul, funky kind of sensibility to it, but also like quite... there's like a scarcity to it as well, and it's just like a nice little melody pop song. It's unobtrusive and it's just quite sweet, and I think sometimes you know, I need to listen to like a song like that to kind of, you know, make me feel like the world's all right.
I think we all need that sometimes, big man.
Yeah, it's true, don't we
can all relate to that.
Yeah, and it's yeah, it's nice, you know. And it's one of those songs that, as I was saying, when I go back to that playlist, when I hear it, I'm like, I really like this song. It's so nice, and especially like now in the summer and all this stuff. Yeah, so I've no idea if anything about them. Yeah, I think they're Australian, and they've probably got better songs. Who knows? I don't know, but yeah, I'd check them out if you liked the sound of that.
Cool. Well, it'd be nice to now follow that up with something really nasty and bitter and angry. But unfortunately, I think I've got a little bit of a sunny gem for you.
Oh, can't wait. Let's go.
To the river of Jordan, our Savior went one day, and we read that John the Baptist met him there.
So, what did you think of that?
I liked it, didn't love it.
Okay.
the reason why is I like the old country western songs, yeah. And but I would never go out of my way to listen to them. And I think part of it is because every time I hear something like that, I think I'm watching like a Coen Brothers film. Or something like that. It feels like it. It feels like it's part of a world that I'm just not. You know, that it's the music that I listen to when watching those kind of films, rather than the music I, you know, stick on to listen to. If that makes sense. Even stuff like Johnny Cash, like Elvis is different, but you know, as much as I love Johnny Cash and all that stuff, and even Bob Dylan, really, but there's still an element where I'm like, I'm just not. You know, when I hear music like this, it's like, I get it. I know why people like it. I really like it. I think technically it's great. The musicianship and songwriting and stuff, brilliant. But I'm like, it, for some reason, it just doesn't click with me.
You hated it.
Those
fucking Coen brothers got a lot to answer for. No, that's fair enough.
I think it would work. Like, if I was watching a Coen Brothers scene, let's say, and this song was playing over the top, I think that's cool. But would I go out and listen to it afterwards? Probably not. Yeah. And I don't know why. I'm sorry, that's not really an answer, is it? But it's something completely subjective. But no, I didn't hate it at all. Actually, I did like it. I do think it's a good song. I didn't love it. I probably wouldn't go and listen to it again. I'm happy with that listen.
Fair enough. Fair enough. At least we got a little bit of Louvain Brothers into your heart.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I should ask. What is it? Yeah.
So the Louvain Brothers, Louvain. There are brothers from Alabama, and that song is from their album "Satan Is Real" from 1959, which has become
Christians,
a bit of a very devout Christians. Obviously, that song's called The River of Jordan, and a lot of the other tracks on the album are even more overtly Christian and preachy, specifically quite preachy. It's become a bit of kind of like kitsch cult classic, not least because of the album cover. If you get time to just look for the album cover, it's amazing. These two guys singing their hearts out in front of this like really tacky cardboard cutout of Satan with all this like hellfire and brimstone. And I've noticed,
I'll put it in the show notes and people can link to it.
I've noticed tracks from the album creeping into like when you go to gigs, they often put it on at the end over the PA.
What, this song?
Well, not that one. Sometimes the title track, Satan Is Real.
Right.
I suppose I think it's like quite a cool kind of juxtaposition. But I first heard of them because I went to Alabama 2006, and then I went to Nashville, and I went to the Country Music Hall of Fame, and they're in there.
I never remember you going to Alabama and Nashville.
Yeah, 13 years ago, Jesus.
Who was that with?
It's okay. It's all right. I went with my dad.
Okay, that makes sense.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
That's all right. Because he's big, like, you know, he loves rock and roll, he loves bluegrass.
Yeah, I just remembered, yeah.
He wanted to do this, like, tour of the Deep South. So that's when they came to my attention. And I've also got the book by one of the brothers, Charlie. And it's really, really interesting. The other brother, Ira, would get so worked up because, you know, like I said, they would involve preaching during their concerts and the songs. He was also an inveterate alcoholic. And he would get himself worked up in such a state that sometimes he would smash his ukulele. And apparently they say that's where that came from, that trope of like the rock and roll musician smashing their guitar on stage.
Fuck off.
It was pure God-fearing passion.
There's no way it stemmed from there. From them, surely.
There's no earlier record of somebody performing and doing that. Okay. And of course, they were well known amongst all the other musicians of the South. All rock and roll being born out of Memphis and Tennessee. I think they were quite influential in that regard. And obviously, like the harmonies and all of that, I think that's all been a big influence as well. So they're quite an interesting, I think, interesting little act. But maybe the story behind them is a bit more enjoyable than the music.
Yeah, it sounds interesting, at least anyway. Okay, cool. Well, now we come on to the final song. Is it the final song of the whole lot? I think it is, isn't it? This is it, and this is the shit. I hope you enjoy it.
That was absolutely fucking terrible. That was like atrocious on so many levels. Don't think I actually managed to pick up everything that's wrong with that song on the first listen, but I think you could probably talk about it for half an hour, all the stuff that's wrong in there.
Can you guess who it is? It's pretty evident from if you even heard one other song by the band.
No, I don't know who it is. I was getting hints of, you know, new metal, and then I was like, oh, actually it's one of those like late 90s power pop punk bands. And no, I don't know, who is it?
It's Biffy Clyro.
Oh god, yeah.
And this is why it annoys me. It's because I was a Biffy fan for the first couple of albums, and with each subsequent album there has been a massive downward spiral. Basically, there came a point, I think it was after their third album, which was a little bit more different from the previous ones, in more of a concept way, though I'm using that term quite loosely there. And after that album, they basically did a weird, they kind of changed the whole image. Instead of being like, we're like a rock band and we're doing our own thing or whatever, they got a look, and then maybe that got signed to a major label or something, and suddenly there was a lot more push behind them. And then I think they released Puzzle, and that had like two songs on it that I liked. And then after that, it was like, oh man, it's going downhill fast. And they started having their own look, like they were all topless for ages, like that was their look for a while. That main guy, Simon Neil, got loads of tattoos, and it was like, what is it? Who's this for anymore? It's like they became a real parody of themselves, and all the interesting stuff, which I quite liked early on, and all that kind of, you know, passion. It was like, that shit went right out the fucking window. And it just became a thing of like, ugh. You can tell they're just like, let's just do the stuff that we've been doing for God knows how long, and you know, we'll just churn another song out.
Yeah, it's really embarrassing. I'm surprised it's them. I'm not familiar with them, but I know that you liked them. But they must be like fairly old as well. So
yeah, they're not. They're a bit older than us. Yeah, they're.
Yeah, that's pretty old. Then.
4 years. Yeah, so they're 40. Old, I suppose they must be. Yeah,
I mean, they're doing stuff that sounds like you know, someone in their early 20s trying to appeal to teenagers. And yeah, it's really, not just from a creative and songwriting aspect, it's the production's fucking dire. You know, the heavy compression, that sort of like really popping, radio-friendly, shiny sound.
Yeah.
Some of the really, really cringe-worthy, silly little like vocal bits and pieces going on in there. It's just awful, absolutely horrible.
Yeah, and it's a real, this is why it's quite close to my heart, because it's just a real example of how bad they are. But I should say that you know, this is, it's called Balance Not Symmetry, and it's the, it came out this year, so it's the only one that's actually recent. It's their new single, basically, and what it is it's from Simon Neil, the frontman, has written co-written a film called Balance Not Symmetry, I think, which it comes out in like a few weeks, I think, and it's like a film based in Glasgow, and I think like an American exchange student ends up there, whatever, and I don't know, something or other. I think it's like a coming of age, what's it, whatever.
I'm shocked.
But they've done, yeah, so their next album is the soundtrack for this film, and this is the title track, and God knows what that album is going to sound. Yeah, so he's obviously trying to diverse a little bit, not understanding that he can't be a, well, some people are rock stars forever, but that, you know, maybe he doesn't want to do this forever, and also they clearly haven't got the fucking talent, basically, to do it for so long, because they're really scraping the barrel, yeah, yeah, especially with songs like that.
I can't believe that that's from this year. It sounds about 20 years old. It sounds so dated. I honestly thought it was, like, when it started, like, late 90s new metal. I was going to say, it seems like our shit occupies the same sphere, but
no,
it's actually one of the UK's premier rock acts.
Yeah, the best thing to come out of Scotland, some may say,
since Haggis.
Yeah, it's a real shame, because I saw this band loads. I've met them a couple of times as well, but this was like really early days, before the first album had even come out, I think, and. And I was really excited about it, but yeah, they've just really gone off on one. But I did see them live at a Glastonbury or something, I was by myself, which is usually the case with these music festivals, I feel like. I was going off by myself. So maybe it was about 6 years ago, something like that. And it was better than I thought it would be. And I was like, okay, they've still, you know, still kind of good, still got a good live thing kind of going on, you know what I mean, still got a good live presence, it sounds fairly decent live, but I was like, these songs are just dire, like the whole time I'm just like, I get it, I can see why people are liking it in this kind of atmosphere, but fuck me, like, this is not their early stuff, where they had obviously a bit more passion. So yeah, sorry to end it on a bit of a downer, but was Biffy Clyro, Balance Not Symmetry, and that was the shit that I chose.
To wrap this show up, should we agree, what was the most offensive shit? I think it was
this one. Yeah, this one, Biffy, was definitely most offensive. I would quite happily listen to Cold Chamber listen to that. I think for I think for me the biggest surprise, obviously, from your side, the one I liked the most, let's say, the hit of your hits, was the William Onyebuor track. I really liked that.
Hell yeah. Nice.
And yeah, Monks does come a close second, actually, when I think about it. And I think Monks is something like a band that I will now go off and research, but song by song, as an actual song, I liked the William Onyebuor song better.
Awesome. from my side, I'll be following up on Cloud Nothings, definitely.
Yeah.
I really liked that. And I think, I mean, it seems to me something that would be quite immediate. So I can probably just pull that album up on Spotify or whatever and probably just get right into it.
Yeah. And they're still releasing stuff. So keep an eye out for them. Okay. Well, that's it, guys. Thanks for listening to that. As always, you can follow us on A New Winter on Twitter and Instagram. Dan, where can they find you?
At Dreadful Discs on Instagram and on YouTube.
Cool. And you can email us anewwinterpodcast@gmail.com, and you can become a patron as well if you go to patreon.com/anewwinter. We've got tiers up there where we have exclusive episodes, and you can even dictate what one of the shows might be about. So go along and give me some of your money. Thanks. so that's it for this week. We'll be doing a few more of these as we go along. Tell us what you think, and if you liked it, if you hated it, if you thought we were wrong about everything, then, you know, whatever, just please talk about it, because I need some kind of validation in my life. And remember, guys, me loco. See ya.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.